that's okay. We've got like Q&A and stuff, so we'll be good. While.
Go ahead.
Oh. Are we on?
Testing.
1, 2, 3.
Close enough.
Okay, welcome. You're at the St. Louis Unix Users Group monthly general meeting. So if you thought you were somewhere else, you're once again mistaken.
Is Sarah Palin going to show up?
Our guest this evening, yeah. Well, darn. But we'll try and be as mavericky as we can. So, but no, we do have Tina Fey from Saturday Night Live coming in. Anyway, but yeah, good crowd that way. So, anyway, we're not going to have our tutorial this evening because we wanted to leave enough time for Matt's presentation later in the evening. So we're changing the format a little bit tonight. We're just going to skip right to the middle, or what normally is the middle, and do the announcements and the Q&A. So at this point, announcements. Anybody have any announcements?
For your consideration, Mr. President, at 7:27, the space station will be passing almost straight overhead, if that's a convenient break time, if anybody cares.
Ooh! Seems like it might end at the sunlight, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Very bright. Even this light blue, you know, for saving the place.
The telescope part?
Yeah, telescope.
Yeah.
It's hard to see, it moves the fact.
Right.
Looks like an airplane going overhead, basically.
So they don't blink.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's just
that's a great idea. 7:27. Okay, so Matt won't be upset if all of a sudden three-fourths of the crowd disappears at 7:27. And
we mentioned it.
All right, 7:27.
Okay.
He's figured out how to kick the power cord down there.
You'll have a 15-minute gap in your,
recording,
though.
Okay. Anybody who hasn't been here before or not for a while or whatever, see Stan in the back there with a flower on his hat, and just catch him at the break or afterwards or whatever. He's just always interested in knowing how you found out about the meeting and, you know, what brought you here tonight. So, let's see, other announcements. For those of you who have an empty stomach, we used to frequently be found, unofficially of course, at a local watering hole, but tonight we're going to a different local watering hole, unofficially. If we were going to go somewhere tonight, Carl, where do you think we'd go?
I feel like going to Ozzy's.
Ozzy's? Yeah. Oh my goodness. Wow, would there be a way of parking somewhere near there? Oh, Lee, is there a way of parking at Ozzy's?
There might be some spaces on the second floor in the Gold Tower that are validated.
Oh, okay. So park on the second floor in the parking garage. Or park in the parking garage underneath, go up to the second floor of the Gold Tower, and they'll validate your
parking. Walk through the door tomorrow, and they'll validate your parking at Ozzy's.
Okay. Now, of course, all this is unofficial and not anything that the organization
does. And unofficially, we do have the back room, so we can try out.
Anything official about this?
Nothing's official. Officially, nothing is official. So anyway, that having been said, other announcements. Lee.
Small Business Expo was a smashing success. We had double the traffic of March. And we actually had two people say they were going to come tonight. That's it.
They kind of forgot.
I didn't get all the email in until today. So. Shame on you. Yes, shame on me. I'm still recovering from the 3,500 mile
round. That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm still recovering. I'm on a whole part. Let's see. Well, that's the edit now. I mean, did you sell any good free software?
I did.
Yes,
Carl
did a pretty good job.
Did anybody go to the
iTech
downtown?
Yeah, just a gross number of how many people you think came by the booth at Small Business?
I'd say at least, as far as those that stopped, I myself talked to at least 50 to 60 people, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to the point where my wife was laughing at me because I couldn't talk the next day.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Laughing at you.
Let's see. Tomorrow, from 8 until noon, downtown, the Hilton Hotel next to the ballpark. It's the Red Hat bus tour. If you're in the downtown area and you want to stop by and see the guys on the Red Hat tour, we did that a few years ago. I don't know if it's the same, probably not the same exact people, but we had a couple developers and a couple of their people we knew out there talking about what their contracting services and stuff were. So
last year was mostly Java development oriented. I don't know what it's going to be this year. There is a link on the SLUG homepage to where you go to, you're supposed to register for the event, but since like most of this, they probably will let you come on in anyway, but it's free.
I know they're having two tracks. They're having an infrastructure and JBoss middleware, and I think it's going to be mainly JBoss, but
like last year.
Next week, Thursday, I haven't gotten, I've talked to people, but things have not been going well as far as my planning for it.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think we're going to get that topic. I think we'll just have to move it.
There is a St. Louis Linux SIG meeting next Thursday, normal time, normal place over at the library. Topic is in transition, as you've just gathered.
Anyone have any ideas? Anything they want to talk about?
How about VMware?
About what? What?
How about VMware?
VMware.
Yeah, hey. I'm sure Matt alone is just live.
That's it.
You don't even have to be there.
Oh, cool.
One slide. That's what I'm supposed to
have. Next month at this meeting, most likely, at least currently scheduled, is Rich Seibel. He'll be doing a presentation on food processors.
Food processors, did you
say? Yeah, food processors, yes. Yeah. It was some breakdown in the boot process. Boot processing.
What happens so before you get to the bootloader?
Okay.
I thought we should put a blender up there.
Yeah. We'll also be doing a segment of Iron Chef, yes. Okay. Another announcement? Okay. Q&A. So, Qs, hopefully having something to do with computers.
Okay. Rather obscure situation. I've got a page that's built with select and then option. A page that's select built with select and then option statements, HTML page. So it gives you a drop-down list. On one page, it gives you the drop-down list with just the first item listed in there. You have to actually click on it and to start entering, to type in, and get something else. On another page, it goes directly. You can start typing. You don't have to click on the drop-down list to be able to start entering or looking for something. Anybody know what the difference between the two might be, or what I do? What's going on with one page?
The one you have to click on probably has a default set.
Well, I was going to say the other way around.
The other way around.
It's probably your tab ordering.
Well, the one where it's not working, it's the only thing on the page. On the one where it is working, it's the second thing on the page.
That's a little odd.
Yeah.
I can put your cursor in any field that you want in about four lines of JavaScript. If you email me tonight, I'll send you some JavaScript you can throw in.
I think he's saying that when you try to select an option in the box, in one you can type ahead, and the other one you can't.
Well, what I'm saying is that on the woman wants it to work like it does on the one page where the page comes up and you start typing what it is you want to select.
You're talking about getting the cursor in or selecting an item of the list.
Okay. No, neither.
Is it live?
I'm sorry, what?
Is it live?
Can you show us?
No. If I can get this thing to actually give me a connection.
Well, once you have a connection,
okay.
Keep describing.
What's the URL?
FreeMedicineFoundation.com.
No, it isn't. Wait, wait, wait. It is. That's the wrong one. Xeon.
With a Z or
an X? It's X-E-O-N dash freemeds dot no dash IP dot com. And now I'm going to have to remember all kinds
Xeon
of things like my
dash
password.
Freemeds
dot
dot no IP.
No hyphen IP.
No hyphen IP.
Not finding it.
Dot com.
Oh, I misspelled free.
Okay, why can't I get a connection here? Only because I'm trying to.
You sound feel so bad I'm not the only one. I can get it.
How's our menu?
Hmm?
It was really slow.
Yeah,
right.
Fall back. Yeah. Because mine's not really working on the wireless connection either.
By the way, for those of you who haven't made a connection in here for a while, there's a sign-in page should come up on your browser from Graybar. So
yeah, I went through all that.
But it's
still it gives me an address. I just can't get anywhere. They
turn it off again.
It was working this morning.
It was working a while ago, but it was ungodly, unusable.
It's working. Except I can't get to the site, so.
Oh, I'm up. What was your URL again, Carl?
It is xeon-freemeds.
S singular or plural?
Plural. Freemeds with an S. Dot no dash ip dot biz.
Dot what? What was that last one? Dot biz?
Dot biz.
Oh, it's dot biz.
It says dot com. Okay.
Freemeds.
I got them.
Xeon freemeds dot no IP, no dash IP dot
biz. Login.
Aha.
X-E-O-N.
Over there.
For Xeon.
X-E-O-N.
There we go. All right, here you go. If you want to come up and do it on the screen, you're welcome to.
Yeah. Cool.
There we go.
And you have to look up there. I don't have it mirrored.
Oh, okay.
What's the other page? Or
are they both in there?
Turn off the password.
That's okay. Just click that save now.
Okay. I got her. The password. See, it's all automated, so I don't have to remember that stuff anymore. Oh, okay. Okay. Now I'm going to do back.
Oh, I get tapping turned off, sorry.
That's all right.
I don't like tapping.
I have too much of a chance of accidentally tapping. Well, not trying to.
It's like about 90-95% of the time for me. But I try to do, pick up your finger and move.
Okay. I'm trying to get rid of the O.
Arrow the other way and hit the delete. It's a Mac keyboard.
There is a way to do it.
Or function delete.
There is a way to do it.
Yeah, function delete over there.
Oh.
There.
Wow. Hallelujah. Okay. There we go. Now we got.
Yeah, function delete. Okay, I'll try to remember that.
All right. Okay, now I got to remember which one it is.
Click on remember.
Let's go to, this is the one, this is one of many where it doesn't do what I want it to do. See, right here, you go to, let's go to view a form so we don't mess anything up. And it takes it a second because it's got this huge list of stuff. Now, at this point, normally on the other screen,
you know what?
Start typing.
Just to create problems for you. You're in a Mac and you can't tab to those fields.
No. It doesn't. It should just automatically start
well, but the Macs do pop-down menus differently.
Yeah. Okay, well, we lost it.
No, I'm going to pull it up in Windows for you.
That's all right. I don't think that's the problem, though.
Now you're getting a demonstration of how VMware both Mac OS and, oh my here, God, is it an infection? Yes, it is.
Oh, it gets worse.
Here you thought we were in Q&A, now we slipped right into the main presentation.
Xeon dot...
Dash.
Dash.
Three meds. Dot. Dot. No dash IP.
Dot biz.
Dot biz. Username.
And there we are.
Cget, capital. All right, I can do that. No, it doesn't do that.
Not across platforms.
Check. This really is only supposed to be available in-house, but I opened it up so I can get to it.
So you could ask a question about it here. Yeah?
Yep.
Another opportunity.
Okay. So anyhow, manage forms. New form. We wait for it to come, and in the other window, I could be able to start typing. In this window, I actually have to go and select.
And so it's what field is active when you enter the page?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out how to make it now.
Is there a hidden input field before that? Can you view sources and there's an input field before that?
Like if you tap, does it take you there?
Okay. The thing is, well, let's see what happens when you tab. Go there, and then somewhere else, and up there. You know what? Probably better just to
go back to the page.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, that might be.
If you tab now.
Tab. Anybody see where the tab went?
Uh-huh.
Top of the list over there.
Top of the list on the left.
Over here, so the focus is still over here. Mm-hmm. And that may explain it.
Right. Control. Now if you tab, what do you get?
There's a shift tab, actually, to go backwards.
Well, I want to say go forward. Where does the forward tab take you?
And, probably just down that list.
Says.
No, it didn't.
No.
It's not going down.
That's weird.
Oh, it's open search.
It's over here.
Yeah,
was
URL
well,
now.
You're on here.
Now menu.
So you're on the main box. Dotted lines going along the edge, up like that.
Okay.
And then up over the free medicine blue bar there.
All right, show us one that works then.
All right, if I can remember how to get there. Let's see. SS application. And
it's already highlighted. Already at the
it's already focused there, yeah.
Yeah, but those are input fields. Those are text inputs, so they're automatically highlighted anyway.
Well, why shouldn't the pull-down be?
That's what I'm asking.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm saying is I would expect the pull-down to be highlighted.
Address.
Or at least to be able to tab to it. That's
state, ammo. I don't know why this isn't a drop down to select it, but 6, 3, 5, 4, 7. Zip, I think. Let's see what I didn't put in there. Something else needs to be fixed. This is about 6,000 lines of Perl to do all this. It does everything that needs to be done. Okay. What is it that needs to be filled out? It should tell you what isn't filled out.
probably what's in gray or higher colored, isn't it?
Yeah, why would name be there twice?
Well, scroll down. There's a. There, I thought I saw a hint.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this page.
Pink fields are required. Okay, so you need
address one.
Again?
Oh, the top one's patient, the second one's ship to.
Yeah, okay.
You need a ship to address.
I don't remember. Well, she did. She was the one who showed this to me, so. Phone number 456-2345. I think email has to be in there somewhere, but. So that's the back button. It should tell you which ones were not filled out. Something else I have to code.
Yeah, put an email. Maybe you just didn't colorize it.
If you've got yes for email, then it renders.
Okay, well, Q.
I bet you have to have a ship to me. Oh, what is the button on the left, on the right, is that a copy down? Copy, no, up, up, left, down, right. The little thing there.
Those look like question mark buttons.
Yeah, that, those are help.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a copy down.
Yeah, I think I've got everything colored there. Let's see what it bitches about now.
Oh, you got
okay.
It.
Okay. Is there a chance? Okay, see, now it has the focus.
Not selected, yeah.
And you do a down arrow and you're good.
Yeah. You can
is there any
start.
JavaScript on that page? That'd be my assumption that someone did that on purpose.
I'm sorry, what?
Is the JavaScript on the page?
I will look, I don't believe so. The one thing I found was it had a value pretty selected on it that didn't exist. So I pumped it into the other page and it didn't make a difference. I mean, oy vey. I mean, no big deal if nobody.
Somebody they used to know of open mouth.
Okay, as long as you have a large mailbox, that's a lot of code.
No, just
the HTML.
Just view source this and send me the source. Just that page. Just those two pages that work in Delaware.
What's to? I guess we could look to see if there is a JavaScript in there. Come on.
Oh my.
That sounded well. Oh my.
That's pretty cool. Oh wow. Not sure I want to touch that.
Did you spell it right? Aha! There's some JavaScript.
No down arrows.
Yeah,
how do I?
Right under this.
Focus
right
it. Focus it. Wow, there's your. Now it gets focused.
Yeah, document. Dot the form. Dot drug. Dot focus. Bingo.
There's a function name there.
And that's the one that works.
Yeah. So that's probably it right there.
Probably not on the.
Where's that function?
It would probably be in the header, I'm sure.
Probably gets called on body or something. On move.
Yeah.
The body's on move.
Okay. Excellent. Now I know where to look. I talked to her this afternoon at 3:00. We haven't had a chance to even look at the code.
This is also a good chance for the reference for the main presentation. How is this size wise for the rest of the room? Do we need to make this bigger? Bigger would be better.
Bigger would be better.
Okay.
We can try and stretch it back.
Yeah, that'd probably be good. Okay. Questions? Other questions?
Have you ever ran into like an open office error? I have some documents out on a window share, and usually
except
it works.
Key stuff.
Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I try to open it, and I get
raise it open.
General internet error. That's it. Sometimes it happens when I try and open it, sometimes when I try and
get
save
a keystone remotely.
That's the only error.
I can just
and it's an open office there.
I got the remote.
Open office.
Cut
and paste that phrase on Google?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, look at that auto adjust. Just had to use the remote.
All kinds of forms, Ubuntu.
That's impressive.
You know, all kinds of different, you know, just Linux distro forms, stuff like that. People having it with Windows shares, trying to write it to all kinds of different kind of areas. If anybody else ran into it. It's impossible. Wish it had a little better error message there.
Well, that translates to we don't have a clue.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
It don't work.
Yeah.
It don't work.
It broke. Sorry.
Yeah.
A hex memory dump or something would be better.
Yeah.
I'm trying to experiment with the Lightning add-on to Firefox. Is anybody here using that?
The what add-on?
Lightning.
What does it do?
Calendaring.
The calendaring thing that adds to
Thunderbird. Okay.
Oh.
Lightning add-on to Thunderbird. Anybody else using it?
No.
Puts a calendar. It ties a calendar into Thunderbird, and it's supposed to. It's in development, and it's supposed to allow you to send out invitations and get them back, and put them in your calendar, and you can also tie it into other calendars. I was able to tie it in the Google Calendar that I have on the front page, ties it into my desktop.
Wait, doesn't Mozilla have like a calendar application? Or
it's called Sunbird, I think, now.
They're incorporating
the This is the evolution of Sunbird.
Okay.
Yeah.
The same code base is just used in different ways.
Right, and it's going to be I'm using version 0.7, and there's a 0.9. which is their last development. They're transitioning it into the Thunderbird 3 release that's coming up.
Sounds pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. And I was just wondering if anybody else is using it, because I'm trying to figure out how well the invitation thing works, if at all.
I probably will be in the next week or so.
No, do you know if the invitations, like when you send it to like an Outlook client, do they get a little accept and stuff like that?
I haven't tried that. I do have a Windows laptop to track with it. I just hadn't got that far yet. But I noticed that the message does come back and it displays accept client thing on the subject line. And I was trying with Gary just to, I don't know the internal protocols, so we just tried to responding with accept in the text body. That didn't do anything for us.
So when you clicked accept in the calendar invite, it brought up an email message?
I haven't quite figured out how to test it yet.
Okay. I was going to say, feel free to invite me to one at my work email address, and I'll try and accept it and see what happens and shoot you an email back.
Okay.
Because I'm real curious how well it's working with the Google Sync. Because I'm looking into trying to figure out the best way to set up my wife's calendar so that I can sync to it and she can sync it to her Palm, and my thought was switch over to using the sync to something that'll sync up to Google iCal.
Because I went to the Google maintenance page for this, that Google page I built for the group, the STL computer events. If you go in and look at that, it lists a couple of things, XML and ICS and so forth. And then it gives you the string to use. You import that into the calendar thing, and it just, when it connects to the internet, it just automatically pulls the calendar.
And it automatically refreshes.
Automatically refreshes, and you can set it to refresh every 30 minutes, or you can click on it.
And what about creating calendars? What about creating calendars in, I can't remember the name of it now. Creating them in Thunderbird and having them sync back up to the iCal, or to Google.
There's another add-on, I forget the name for it, but it's supposed to allow you to do the synchronization from your...
I think there was a specific Google Calendar sync plugin.
That you needed, okay.
I looked at all the plugins for Thunderbird last night, and I downloaded a few different ones, and one was like sync with Google Calendar or something like that.
Okay.
Something that starts with P, provisions, or something like that. But test cycle.
How many other people got questions?
Yeah.
I can have some more if you want. My whole life is a question.
On with the show.
I'll throw out one thing, which is that really a question. How many people have noticed? I mean, we always talk about the EULAs. Does anybody actually read the licensing? And what are the consequences of actually saying yes to any of these user agreements? And interestingly enough, you may have all heard about, I guess it's almost a year ago now, that there is the I think she was a 17-year-old girl who committed suicide, a young teenage girl. Mm-hmm. And the mother of the other girl, who has been accused of being the one of actually harassing her online, is in trial out in California for this harassment which led to the suicide. As I understand it, and I haven't checked the details yet, but the one story I read was actually the law that they're trying her under is violating the EULA, the license or the user agreement with, was
MySpace,
it?
MySpace or
MySpace or Yahoo or whoever it was.
MySpace.
Basically, MySpace. She violated the user agreement, and because of the way our laws are set up, instead of this being a civil thing, this is actually a criminal offense that she violated the user agreement. So it's a, well, certainly a tragedy.
The law is that because she didn't have permission, she broke into the system.
She also registered as a teenage boy.
Right. Because she fraudulently registered, she did not meet the terms of the user agreement, therefore she was breaking into the computer system, which is a big stretch, but they wanted to find something to prosecute her for.
They were prosecuting her with the same thing they prosecuted, like a hacker or something.
Right.
That broke in. It was like the Computer Misuse Act or something along like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chilling effect if it...
Yeah, on the one hand, in this particular case, no one likes what she did, but it leaves a lot of room for a lot of other prosecutions that may be badly received.
So the intention was part of it, too.
It's a good... Use anonymous speech, is that what you're saying? If she did something wrong that hurt someone, then charge her for hurting someone, not...
So, on the federal.
There's no Missouri law against it, unfortunately.
So, the moral of the story is if you're going to harass people, do it on your own site?
So, read the agreement and find one where you can do it.
But that is under the EULA. You're breaking into the system is a hacking offense, which is federal law.
But is it breaking into the system or is it misrepresenting yourself in the registration?
Well, they're using the law that says breaking into because she misrepresented herself. Therefore, she didn't fall under the terms of use, allowing her access to the system.
Therefore, it's unauthorized access.
Yeah.
Same as, I guess, if you did like a buffer overflow on their site.
We're going to get one of the lawyers to explain to us exactly how this falls together under the law, but it certainly is interesting.
Let's wait till the judgment's rendered, then we can have to explain it.
This is
that'll be 5, 6, 7 years.
Okay, with that, we'll have something to talk about over dinner and drinks later, as if we don't have enough with Matt.
I didn't break.
Do we want to, are we going to break for the...
we're going to break for the space.
Yeah, so we're not going to break now.
Oh, well, let's get started and we'll break in 15 minutes.
So, as if we didn't have enough to talk about over dinner from the stuff Matt's going to talk about, which leads to what Matt's going to talk about tonight. Matt Skipton. You've seen Matt speaking to us before a number of times. Matt used to be with a different employer, but I guess it was last winter he switched over. But even before switching over to working for VMware, there were a number of conversations with Matt, so he was very familiar with the products and... is obviously now become even more of an expert since he's now employed by them. So I'm going
to
turn over
to be one.
To Matt Skipton.
Thanks. So I was talking to a couple people before we get started. There are so many different things we could talk about. I want to make sure we kind of address things that were of interest to those in the room. I know. We made a lot of announcements a couple weeks ago at VMworld. So let me ask a couple of questions, and then I'm going to kind of wing it and decide what to do from there. How many people in here are current VMware workstation users? Okay. What about VMware Server or Fusion or anything like that? Oh, any of the desktop products? Yeah.
Fusion.
Okay. What about ESX, our enterprise product, or sometimes referred to as VI? Just one? One and a half? Okay. So we can go down that road.
Which one's a free one?
Well, that's kind of part of VI. I'll have to explain that.
Which one was the free one?
Server. Server has been free for a long time.
Server not workstation.
Right. Right. And what else was I going to ask? Well, I'll tell you. So let me take this route. I want to show you some of the things that are new in Workstation 6.5, which is the new release. I've got it up here running on Ubuntu with a Windows VM and show you some of the cool stuff that's in there. Then I can reboot this box and bring it up with Windows. And I've got VMware Server loaded there, so I can show you that. Because VMware Server 2, if you've used VMware Server 1, is significantly different. I've also got a VM of ESXi, which is really our core product, and I can tell you what that is. I can show you that running in a VM and show you kind of how straightforward and easy that is. And then lastly, we could talk about cool stuff that was announced at VMworld, because there's some really, really cool, exciting stuff that's going to be happening in the virtualization space. So,
Matt,
yeah.
I was only half jesting with the posting I put out to discuss earlier that is there going to be a slide with what all these acronyms mean and what's what? I mean, you ran through some of it just now, but I mean, you know, we've now got two or three different servers.
So I don't know. I don't know if I have a good slide that covers all of that stuff. Most of the time, all the slides I've got are really focused on our VI, which is our enterprise class product, because most of the time that's what I'm talking to is enterprise customers. I was here at Great Bar this morning talking to them about some stuff. And that's really what people focus on, what we end up focusing on. So I don't have anything that really ties together the other stuff, but I'm happy to write it up here on the whiteboard if you guys can bear with my writing ability. So we basically got a couple categories of stuff. Oh my God, there's no tip on that. I'm going to try and use it anyway because it's black.
Type it on the screen.
Come on, that's too easy. I can do that. Let me do a...
start a notepad.
Do this. Oh wait, I was where I wanted to be. Alright, so let's just do... I'm just going to do three little text edit pads here. Low tech. So we've really got three classifications of stuff. We've got our desktop products, which basically, what is it? What key is that to blow this up?
Command Shift Plus. If you do a control,
there it is. Command Shift T makes it rich text. Now I can blow it up.
With a Command Shift Plus.
Yes. Okay, so we've got our desktop products, and that is the traditional, which is VMware Workstation. Workstation is kind of the piece that brought us to the table, first products we released. And basically what Workstation does, well, all of our products do virtualization. And virtualization is basically any kind of separation between something and what goes below it. I'm really slaughtering this. Think of storage virtualization. How many people in here put together a server or a mission critical box without some kind of RAID in it? Mm-hmm. Most people put in RAID. RAID gives you, you know, two disks. Data gets written to both disks in a real simplified format. So if one disk fails, you can keep running. And even though there's two disks, or maybe there's six disks, or maybe there's 300 disks in some of these very large storage environments, but to your server, it sees one disk. And it doesn't know or care if there's one disk sitting under it or 300 disks sitting under it. It just sees one big volume. That's storage virtualization. And most people in IT are comfortable with storage virtualization. They're comfortable with RAID. It's just a concept of, yeah, you buy a server, you buy it with RAID. Because then you have some protection to your data. The other part of that example is, if you're writing the data to more than one drive at the same time and doing some of the other things you can do with RAID, you're able to do these advanced things like have more, one or more drives fail and your system just keeps running and you can replace the drives and it'll rebuild the information on the drive and you know your operating system is none the wiser that that's gone on. So virtualization is that kind of abstraction piece between what's physically there and what, in this case, the operating system thinks it sees. So that's kind of traditional storage virtualization. What we do with virtualization is operating system virtualization. So we take and simulate's not really the right word, but we simulate the hardware. And we basically create what we call a virtual machine. It has a certain amount of memory. You can type that in, tell it how much memory you want it to have. A certain size disk, which is basically created as a file on the disk. And so if you say you want to give your VM a 40 gig hard drive, it'll create a 40 gig file on your hard drive, and that VM thinks that that's its hard drive. You can, you know, tell it you have certain types of graphics and you have different, you know, do you have a sound card, don't you? Do you have USB, don't you? Those sorts of things. And you can set all those things up in the VM. And when I show you some of this, it'll make a little bit more sense. But virtualization allows you then to set up a VM, install an operating system into it. The operating system, whether it's Windows, Linux, doesn't really matter, thinks it's got a whole computer to itself, but really it's only got a small chunk of that computer that you've told that it has. So once you virtualize, you could do things like run multiple operating systems on the same computer. This is huge for test environments, that you can go in and have, I prefer to run Linux, but I'm stuck because I have to have Outlook, and you know there's issues with this, that, or the other thing, so okay, I'll run Linux as my OS, and then I'll run a VM and put Windows in it. So I can use the VM for my Windows-specific applications, but I can use Linux the rest of the time. Or in my case, with a Mac, I can have Mac most of the time and then have Linux and Windows and VMs when I need them. So that's one of the benefits of virtualization, and that's really at the desktop level. So Workstation was really our first product, and it is still a very widely used product. And I'm going to show you the latest version, which is 6.5 today. This runs on Linux and Windows.
And that's a commercial product.
It's a commercial product. I think retail is like $80 or something like that. It's not too bad. Maybe it's $120, but you can get a sale for it for $80 almost anywhere. And I'm actually going to give away two copies at the end of the session today. So if anybody needs it, stick around for the drawing and we'll give away two free copies. So Workstation is really designed as a commercial product. It's designed for people who need to do this for a living and need to have all the latest features and benefits and that. And I'll show you some of those here in a minute. Then we have Workstation's counterpart for the Mac, which is Fusion. And Fusion, current version, we just started shipping 2.0. And for all intents and purposes, it's Workstation, but on a Mac. So, although a lot of features were tested out and done on the Mac first and then rolled back into Workstation.
The VMware Workstation 6.5, that's for Linux and Windows?
Yes. Now, when you buy it, and I don't particularly like this, but I've said my arguments and we'll see if they listen to me. When you buy it, you have to tell it, I want to buy this for Linux or I want to buy it for Windows, and they kick you a license key that only works on Windows or Linux. And for somebody like me, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm rebooting and dual booting my machine all the time. I want to buy it and get one key that works on either, and they haven't listened to me yet. But so you got to tell them which platform you want to run it on. My understanding is if you call up support and say, hey, I bought this for Windows, I finally got fed up, chucked Windows, I'm going to Linux for my OS, they'll give you the different key. But
you
do have to specify. They probably won't believe you if you tell them the opposite story. Go ahead.
We serious about this break?
If we are, let's do it.
To get going.
27 after? We got
to
move.
Okay. Are we able to just walk right out here, or do we have to go?
You can. You might be able to see it. You might not, because there's a concrete overhang that's part of the sidewalk when you walk out. But you know, it's worth a try.
So okay. From northwest to southeast.
So, should we include this in our break and reconvene at 7:45? That's about 20 minutes.
Probably.
probably won't need that long.
Or we won't need that long.
Okay. Okay.
Do we want to stop this?
Yeah.